Fresh out of college, I went to work for the Presbyterian congregation that had been my spiritual home throughout my university years. I worked with a lot of great people, but Steve sticks in my memory, in large part because one evening he simultaneously honored and humbled me in a way I will never forget. I'll tell you what he did coming up next.
Helping you grow deeper on your spiritual journey. Welcome to The Inner Life with Patrick Conley.
This is The Inner Life. Welcome to the show that focuses on spiritual direction, giving you a bit of help and a bit of hope and drawing nearer to the Lord today. I'm your host, Patrick Conley. So Steve was an interim pastor for a while at the Presbyterian church where I worked right after college. We got along well, and I enjoyed his leadership of our congregation. Eventually, of course, when we had found a new permanent pastor, his time as interim drew to a close, and he moved on. Well, a couple of years later, that's important to recognize, I spotted him at a local restaurant. He was dining with a group of politicians and local dignitaries. I wanted to speak with him, but I didn't want to intervene in this group of local bigwigs that wouldn't have known me from Adam. Heck, I wasn't even sure that Steve would remember who I was. After a while, their dinner wrapped up, and they began just standing around and chatting with one another. I thought this might be my chance to speak with Steve, so I timidly approached and waited patiently while he conversed with a couple other folks. When that conversation finished, I stepped forward and began by saying, "Steve, I don't know if..." When he took one look at me and with a broad smile said this, I'll never forget it, "Pat, it's so good to see you. I have prayed for you every day." I was flabbergasted. As I said, simultaneously so humbled and so honored. Not only did he remember me, he had remembered me before God every day since we parted a couple of years earlier. What an indescribable gift. In thinking about it, though, you and I are daily, moment by moment even, honored in an even greater way, not just by someone who holds public office locally, but by the very ruler of the universe himself. Each and every moment, the Holy Spirit is closer to you than you are to yourself. Each and every moment, he sustains you and nourishes you. And each and every moment, he's there to provide you with guidance in your life. But he won't do it without your cooperation, without your yes. So, how do you do that? How do you say yes to the Holy Spirit's work in your life? Well, today on the program, we're investigating what it means to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Guiding our discussion is our spiritual director for the day, Father Ethan Southard. Father Ethan is a priest in the Archdiocese of Los Angeles, where he serves as the pastor of St. John Hughes Church in Chatsworth, California. Father Ethan, welcome. Good to have you back with us.
Thank you, Patrick. It's great to be with you, and good morning to everyone listening to the program. What a beautiful story about Steve and that relationship, you know, that you connected. And, you know, you never know how we're impacting someone else or how someone's impacting us and remembering us. And here is Steve remembering you in prayer every day. And you weren't even sure if he'd remember you.
Right.
I pray for you every day.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Just absolutely. I'm very grateful for that. And I got to say, I think Steve was paying attention to the Holy Spirit that, you know, maybe he had made some sort of a commitment to pray for me. And who knows, maybe he's still praying for me. But I mean, that's one of the ways. It's just one of the small ways that the Holy Spirit leads and guides. And I'm just fascinated by our topic today, Father, cooperating with the Holy Spirit. But maybe we should start with just a general overview. Who is the Holy Spirit?
Well, the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. And so, you know, obviously the Father and the Son are the other two. You know, what I love to share with couples who are preparing for marriage. The Father, when we're thinking of who the Trinity is, the Father is giving himself. He's emptying himself entirely. He's not holding anything back, but he shares himself, empties himself in love to his Son. And his Son, and this is an eternal gift. The Son is eternally receiving that gift of the Father. Totally. He's not receiving 95% of it and saying, well, I don't know about this other 5%. No, he's receiving the entirety of the Father's love. And then as he's receiving the Father's love and the Father's personhood, the Father's being, the Son is, also sharing himself entirely to the Father, who's receiving all of his Son. So in that exchange of love, in that exchange of personhood, you know, a third person, we say that the Spirit spirates, or the love between the Father and the Son, it breathes life into this other being, this third person of the Trinity, and that's the Holy Spirit. And so, you know, analogously, I think it's the perfect, you know, image that we could have. It's an analogy, but it's, I think it's the best one that we have in our humanity. We look at the love that that spouses have for each other, that a husband has for his wife, and that exchange of love, and between that exchange of personhood, the total gift of self between the husband and the wife, the Holy Spirit, the child, a baby comes forth from that exchange of love.
Yeah.
And so you could see in that family life, there's, you know, a small T, a Trinity, but it's an image of God. But you know, in the exchange of love between the Father and the Son, this is divine life. And so the Holy Spirit comes forth, and so that's a little bit of who the Holy Spirit is, but God's love is so amazing and so great that God wants us to actually share in his divine life. And so he sends forth the Holy Spirit to give us a share so that we could actually participate in that life of God.
Yeah. Worthy of a lot of contemplation right there in and of that. You've got the lover, the beloved, and love itself. Yeah. What a wonderful picture of our God. And as you said, Father, he offers that to us. He invites us to share in that. And maybe that's one of the things that's actually worth pointing out is that when we converse with God, I mean, a lot of us, Jesus, of course, taught us to pray the Our Father. We address a lot of our prayers, both in and outside of Mass, to Jesus himself. But what does praying to the Holy Spirit look like? Or what are ways that we can incorporate the Holy Spirit into our prayers that way?
Well, there's the beautiful prayer to the Holy Spirit. So maybe we could pray that right now, just as we're beginning our sharing today. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who have taught the hearts of the faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant that in the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Wow. What a great prayer. Yeah. And that's one worth committing to memory and praying often, right? I mean, it's an appeal to the Holy Spirit active in our life. So, yeah. I mean, what are some of the ways that we receive the Holy Spirit, and how do we know that the Holy Spirit is active in our lives?
Well, I think we can look to our Blessed Mother Mary. There is no one that has ever existed who better exemplifies receiving the Holy Spirit. You know, Mary, she received the Holy Spirit. She was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, and the Word became incarnate in her.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if we're thinking of when we say the word spirate, you know, that's coming, you know, from Latin, that's the breathing, or it's the giving life. So the Holy Spirit, the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit spirating, the breath of life coming from the Father and the Son. And so that breath of life is, excuse me, that breath of life is being breathed into each of us. So there's this new life that is breathing. And so in that breathing of life, the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit's overshadowing Mary, and she's receiving that life, the life, the divine life. It's the life of God that's taking flesh within her. I'm going to go to another prayer, and it's the Angelus prayer. Uh-huh. And so we oftentimes, you know, we pray this, you know, each day. We pray this three times a day, typically. And, you know, the angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Right? Behold the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done unto me according to your word. So there's this image of she's conceiving of the Holy Spirit. She's receiving that life of the Holy Spirit. There's this openness, this docility, this receiving. May it be done unto me. She's not saying, let me do it according to your word.
Right.
No, may it be done unto me. But here's the kicker, Patrick. This is such a beautiful prayer. And so often I think we can all kind of gloss over it or just run through the prayer. But it says, pour forth, we beseech you, O Lord, your grace into our hearts.
Yeah.
That we, okay, this is the kicker. This is the center of it. That we, to whom the incarnation of Christ, your Son, was made known by the message of an angel. So we, the message of the angel was made known to Mary.
Yeah.
But here we are, we're praying we. So we are actually, Mary is already having us within her. We, that's a corporate we. So it's that message is being made known to Mary, but we are in Mary. And so Mary is actually helping us to receive. So we can keep that corporate we as we pray the rest of this prayer, that we, to whom the incarnation of Christ, your Son, was made known by the message of an angel, that we may by his passion and cross, that we may be brought to the glory of his resurrection through the same Christ, our Lord. Amen. And Amen. So we can, as we're allowing, as we're resting in our mother, Mary, you know, she's interceding for us. She's helping us to receive. She's helping us to say yes. She's helping us to, as John 15:15 says, abide in Christ. If we abide in him, we remain in his love, then we will bear fruit that will last. Mm. And so it's in that abiding that the Holy Spirit's actually moving through us, and it's the Holy Spirit who is bearing fruit within us. He's doing it. May it be done unto me. So we can start to allow, you know, that life of God through the Holy Spirit to breathe that divine life within us.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Our spiritual director today, Father Ethan Southard, taking us through some meditations on the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's action in our lives. Do you ever pray to the Holy Spirit? What's your relationship like with the Holy Spirit? How does the Holy Spirit influence your life? How do you listen to that still small voice of the Holy Spirit? Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. Join the conversation. 888-914-9149. That's our toll-free studio line sponsored by the Catholic Order of Foresters. Again, the number is 888-914-9149. Ask your questions about the Holy Spirit as well. You can also send us an email. Our email address is innerlife@relevantradio.com. Father, one of the things that occurred to me there as you were giving this beautiful picture of the Angelus and then what it means to us, that we are incorporated into that closing prayer, that we are following in our Blessed Mother's footsteps, inviting the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Do you think, I mean, what's, I guess the thing that really popped into my head is, you know, the earthly life of ministry of Jesus is actually bookended by on the front end the Annunciation, which we pray about in the Angelus, and then kind of at the end of his earthly ministry after his ascension into heaven, then there's Pentecost, then the Holy Spirit is poured out in this way. So, I mean, what does Pentecost mean for us?
Everything.
Okay. Next question.
So we can, you know, it's this breathing life, right? It's the breathing life. So God is breathing life, right? We're made in the image and likeness of God. But when he breathes again, we are participants by grace, right? It's a gift of God. But we are, when he breathes his life, we are participants in his divine life at Pentecost. And so that's happening at Pentecost. The Holy Spirit, he's breathing. It's not just we're made in the image and likeness. It's not God breathed life into Adam and Eve.
Right.
Right? In the beginning, he breathed life, but he's breathing again. That was human life. He breathed human life. Now at Pentecost, he's breathing divine life.
Ah.
And he's giving us the ability, the invitation to participate by his grace to breathe in, right? So it's not just a recycled breath. It's a new breath. So it's not just our own breath. Mm-hmm. We're not recycling our own air. No, this is God's own breath. And so we could think of like a recycling air is resuscitation. Okay, sure. We come back alive. You think of CPR, right? Somebody's breathing life into this body, and they resuscitate. They come back. This is not it. Jesus is not resuscitating. He is resurrecting. So he's breathing his divine life within us, even now.
Mm-hmm.
Even now. Right? We don't have to, we think of the resurrection, right? And the resurrection comes, you know, after we die, right? And you know, that's our hope, that's our glory, right? But no, God is breathing through the Holy Spirit in Pentecost. He's breathing his divine life into us now. And so in a sense, there is a certain dying, right? That's what Paul says in Galatians 2:20, yeah. Right? It is no longer I who live. Right, I have died to myself, I bear within myself continuously the dying of Christ so that the life of Christ may be made manifest in me. So it's that new life. So in a sense, we're already living that divine life through the Holy Spirit, which is being breathed into us in a divine, glorious life on earth as it is in heaven. So we can even start living this divine life now, and it's happening through the gift of Pentecost.
Ah, man. So good, so good. And there's so much more to talk about. Our spiritual director today, Father Ethan Southard, as we're talking about cooperating with the Holy Spirit. How do you invite the Holy Spirit to be at work in your life? How do you look to the Holy Spirit? Do you have specific prayers that you'd like to pray inviting the Holy Spirit? How do you cooperate with the Holy Spirit's work in your life? Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. 888-914-9149. Maybe you have questions about, well, how do I do this? Or how do I do this better? 888-914-9149 is our phone number here at The Inner Life. Our email address is innerlife@relevantradio.com. So glad you're joining us today for this great conversation on cooperating with the Holy Spirit with our spiritual director, Father Ethan Southard. We'll be back with more of The Inner Life right after this.
Seems it never rains in Southern.
Our sponsor, the University of Dallas, the Catholic University for Independent Thinkers, invites high school juniors, seniors, and recent graduates to study the great books this summer at UD's two-week-long Arete program while earning 3 hours of college credit. Info at relevantradio.com/UDallas.
Seems it never rains in Southern.
I'm just sitting here chuckling as this is going on. I've got to say, I've been to Southern California only twice in my life, and I don't think it rained either time, Father. So the song holds true for me. How about for you?
No. that's what I used to think. But this year, we've been getting flash flood warnings, and we've been getting a ton of rain, so much rain. And I was sharing with Nick, your producer, you know, earlier, just before the show, he was asking me how things are. I said, well, I got caught in a hailstorm yesterday.
Oh, no.
It started, I've never seen, you know, that much hail in my life. It was drizzling, and I was going to go for a walk. It was a beautiful sunny day, and And then it started drizzling, and I thought, okay, well, I'm just going to wait for the drizzle to pass. And then it started hailing, and then it just, it was like torrential hail. It just came down for half an hour.
Oh, and no. It
was, the streets were flooded with all those little hailstones. For a good half hour. But when Nick started playing this song, I started laughing, and I looked it up, and I think this song is perfect, you know, for what we're talking about here at with the Holy Spirit, cooperating with the Holy Spirit and Pentecost.
Do tell.
So on the beginning of this song, the lyrics, it says, got on board a westbound 747, didn't think before deciding what to do. Oh, that talk of opportunities, TV breaks and movies rang true. Sure, rang true. Seems it never rains in Southern California. Well, when it's raining, it pours. And that talk of getting on board a 747, when we go to the Catechism of the Catholic Church, article number 747, it's like the plane landing. So it says, 747 of the Catechism says, the Holy Spirit, whom Christ the head pours out, just like all that rain, like all the hailstones, the Holy Spirit, whom Christ the head of the church, whom the head pours out on his members, builds, animates, and sanctifies the church. She, the church, is the sacrament of the Holy Trinity's communion with men, with all of humanity. So the Holy Spirit, whom Christ the head pours out on his members, builds, animates, and sanctifies the church. The Holy Spirit is doing this. The Holy Spirit is building, is animating, is giving life, sanctifying the church. And Mary is the mother of the church. And so through Mary, our mother, through the church, our mother, the Holy Spirit is communicating, is pouring out its own life. And so in a special way, we receive this gift. We receive, it's not us going out to do it. We can't do divinity. We can't make divinity, but we can receive. So in our baptism, as we receive this great gift of the Holy Spirit, that 747 is landing. It is raining in Southern California. It's raining everywhere. It's raining that life of God. And so then we start to be able to participate. Baptism is our entry point into participating in the life of God.
Right.
And then we're nourished through the Holy Spirit, you know, in the Eucharist with Christ's own body and blood, his soul and divinity. We're being nourished by Christ himself through the Holy Spirit in the flesh. And so that divinity, that divine life, we're continuing to grow and to be nourished. And in the sacrament of confirmation, we are being confirmed in that life.
Mm.
We're being confirmed as the body, as the members of the church, as members of Christ. And so then we are going out to share this good news that God is love.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, Father, I've got to say that's the most ingenious tie-in between the rejoin music and the catechism. Who knew? 747 is talking about, in the catechism, talking about the Holy Spirit, which is our topic for the show today with Father Ethan Southard. And Holy Spirit must have been a little at work prompting Nick, our producer, and you, Father, just well tied in. Let's go to the phones. We're taking your questions and comments right now on the Holy Spirit and cooperating with the Holy Spirit. 888-914-9149. Sarah is calling in from Ohio. Sarah, welcome to The Inner Life. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you so much. You kind of talked about what I was calling in about with respect to confirmation. Just wondering about the Holy Spirit's presence in that process. My son's getting ready for his in about a month. And just for me to, like, you know, understand more about what the Holy Spirit does during that process.
Well, congratulations, Sarah. That's so exciting for you and your family, and especially for your son. And so confirmation's intimately united with our baptism. And so it's continuing to strengthen, you know, the gifts of the Holy Spirit within us and the vocation that's been given to us, that's been imparted within us, in our identity, that vocation, that our identity in Christ is being strengthened. And so when we look at, you know, the confirmation, when we look at Pentecost, right, we could see, you know, how the holy men and women, they knew Christ. I mean, they were traveling around with Jesus. You know, Peter was wanting to do, you know, on the mountain of the Transfiguration, you know, Peter was saying, "Oh, I got a great idea. Let me build three tents. Let me do this for you." And Jesus says, "Peter, I'm going to go into Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you want to come? You know, this is God's will. You know, are you going to come and do that?" And, you know, Peter keeps saying, "Yes, I'll be there with you." And then, you know, he runs out of gas. He's not able to make the journey. Well, in confirmation, in Pentecost, God is pouring out his love. It's the love of Christ which impels us, right? So the love of Christ is emptying himself. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 5:14, he says, "For the love of Christ impels us once we have come to the conviction that one died for all, therefore all have died." Mm. Right? So we're being impelled by the love of Christ, that which is the Holy Spirit. So in Pentecost, the Holy Spirit is filling us even more. He's sealing us in his love. He's impelling us. He's moving us. He's giving us the ability, you know, to go to the places that maybe we don't want to go and to do the things that maybe we don't want to do. But it's the love of Christ which is giving us that ability. And so that's what's happening, Sarah, with your son in confirmation. You know, he's being sealed. He's being immersed. He's being impelled by that love.
Mm-hmm. And it's a great gift, is it not, Father? I mean, just in seeing that, seeing how it is that the Holy Spirit is just building us up. And one of the ways I do teach confirmation students, and one of the ways I teach them about the sacrament of confirmation is that it's almost as if at baptism, of course, the fire is lit. And the flame is lit, but the Holy Spirit, it's just like, you know, throwing the gasoline on the fire. Like, yeah. It just ignites us. It explodes us if we're open to it. If we say our yes, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. That's a beautiful image. Yeah, he's just throwing, like, more fuel on that fire. And it's just, you know, that's how, you know, the disciples, they went out. They went out. They were terrified, locked behind closed doors. But then they're impelled, they're moved, they're inflamed, and they go out and there's no fear. You know, they're standing up in the face of death and they just can't help but proclaim, you know, the death and the resurrection of Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Right. And it's not just given to us for our own good, which of course it is, but it's also gearing us up, so to speak, getting us ready. Giving us that boldness to proclaim the gospel with our words and our lives out there. Yeah, Sarah, I hope that helps, and it's certainly helpful for me. And I, again, bless you and bless your son who's getting confirmed soon. Prayers for you, and hopefully that is just he is completely open, wide open. And as long as we're on the topic, Father, what is a great disposition to receive the Holy Spirit if there are those listening who have other loved ones who are getting confirmed soon?
Yeah, I mean, the openness and also the, you know, the admission that maybe I'm not open, right? Mm-hmm. You know, maybe I'm not open to receive. And maybe my loved one, you know, my own child or maybe a friend's child really isn't open. But again, I think it goes back to, St. Paul. You know, and he's bearing within his flesh the dying of Christ. He says, this is in 1 Corinthians 4, 12, and before. So he's in 10, he says, you know, we're afflicted in every way. He starts earlier, "We hold this treasure in earthen vessels, that the surpassing power may be of God and not from us. We're afflicted in every way, but not constrained." He continues, "Persecuted, not abandoned, struck down, not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being given up to death for the sake of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. And then this is the key. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Mm-hmm. So I think the perfect, most beautiful witness, the patron saint of evangelization is Saint Stephen, right? Because Saint Stephen was impelled, right, by, he's the first martyr. He was impelled by the love of Christ. Mm-hmm. And so he was so moved. And so there he is. He's standing up in the face of death, persecution, ridicule, but he's so filled with the Holy Spirit. It's the words of Christ that are coming through him. It's the Spirit of Christ that's coming through him. And then there's Paul, or Saul, rather, who is watching over, you know, his murder. And so he's being stoned. Okay, but it's the very act of Stephen receiving Saul's hard heart, his disposition, his closed disposition to what God is doing, his refusal, right? And so Stephen is interceding on, it's life, it's death at work in Stephen, so that life could be at work in Saul, who became Paul, right? And so that opened up Stephen's sacrifice, his offering, opened up this whole new reality and dimension and possibility for Paul. And so with us, that is our role, really, as we're being impelled, right, to be transformed, to be moved, to be filled with God's own love.
Yeah.
So Bob Dylan has a song, right, and he says, everybody must get stoned, right? So he says, they'll stone you when you're trying to be good. They'll stone you just like they said they would. They'll stone you when you're trying to go home. They'll stone you when they're all alone. But I would not feel so all alone. Everybody must get stoned. This could kind of be like our theme song for a missionary church, right? So if we're actually going to start going out, right, they'll stone you, and then they'll say it's the end. Then they'll stone you, and then they'll come back again, right? So we keep getting stoned by all of these, you know, unfair treatments, the hard hearts, the words, the resentments, all of that stuff. But as we're allowing Christ to receive it within ourselves, within our dying in Christ, then there's actually life that starts to emerge within the other person.
Yeah.
And it's Christ's own divine life that starts to come up, just like in St. Paul.
Exactly. That's so fascinating to me, Father. I had never before considered that Saul witnessing the martyrdom of St. Stephen, that in that event, Stephen's giving up his life, but it's having this, even if he's not aware of it, this profound effect in the life of Saul, who would become for us, of course, St. Paul, who would then later write, as you said earlier, that I always carry around the death of Christ within me so that the life of Christ might be active in you. Wow. Oh, man, yeah. I love it.
Oh, yeah. And then Paul, I mean, he was stoned, and he was stoned again, and he was stoned again. And as he's being shipwrecked,
yes.
You know, he's being beaten. He's being thrown. So he's just living that life of being stoned, right? But look what's happening. The Ephesians, right? The Corinthians, the Colossians, the Romans. It's unstoppable. That life of Christ, right? It's unstoppable. It looks like it's death. It looks like it's the end, but then it's just getting going, right? It just really starts to keep going. So that's the life of Christ. And that's what we're being confirmed in. We're being confirmed into that life of Christ.
Yeah. Amazing. Well, I tell you what, let's see if we can squeeze a phone call in here before we go to the break. Alexandra is calling in from Baltimore, Maryland. Good afternoon, Alexandra. Welcome to The Inner Life.
Hello. How are you doing?
Doing well, thanks.
I was just calling in reference, just curious if he's familiar with the 33-day Marian consecration written by St. Louis de Montfort.
Oh, yeah. That's a beautiful, beautiful consecration. I personally made my consecration, and it was actually right at, I went on a pilgrimage, so I went to Our Lady of Guadalupe in Mexico City, and I made it right there at the altar rail. But I think that's just a beautiful way, because it's, you know, we're consecrating ourselves to Mother Mary, you know, to Jesus through Mother Mary, and we're asking Mother Mary to help us to abide and to remain in her Son. And we're trusting that, you know, we don't have all of the answers, we don't know every single thing, but we're trusting that Mother Mary is going to guide us through those difficulties. There's a beautiful prayer in Romans, you know, Paul says, we know that all creation, this is in 22, so it's chapter 8, verse 22, he says, we know that all creation is groaning in labor pains even until now, and not only that, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we also groan within ourselves as we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. Mm-hmm. So there's this groaning. The Holy Spirit is groaning within us. The Holy Spirit, we don't even know how to pray, but the Holy Spirit, again in 26 it says, the Spirit comes to the aid of our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself intercedes with inexpressible groanings. So we don't even know what we need to pray for. We don't even know what's really going on. We entrust ourselves to Mary, the spouse of the Holy Spirit, and it's, you know, to Christ. And the Holy Spirit is the one who's transforming, who's perfecting us. Our job, as someone has said, is just to let the Holy Spirit perfect us.
Yeah. Wonderful, wonderful. Good suggestion, Alexandra, a way to connect with our Blessed Mother and her so willing to receive the work of the Holy Spirit in her life. And that's a great model for us, a great example, and one that we can follow after. So what we're talking about today on the show, cooperating with the Holy Spirit, with our spiritual director, Father Ethan Southard, who is the pastor of St. John Hughes Church in Chatsworth, California. If you have a question or a comment about the Holy Spirit's work in your life, give us a call at 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149, or our email address is innerlife@relevantradio.com. We're going to take our next break, but we'll be back with more of the show right after this. Our sponsor, the University of Dallas, the Catholic University for Independent Thinkers, invites high school juniors, seniors, and recent graduates to study the great books this summer at UD's two-week-long Arete program while earning 3 hours of college credit. Info at relevantradio.com/UDallas.
With the Spirit of the Lord inside, there's a greater love in me. When I asked Him to come in my life, what a difference I could see. And I know that it's a
Wow, that's just what it is, isn't it? We're talking about that, cooperating with the Holy Spirit today on the Inner Life. We've been talking about how do we do that just like our Blessed Mother did. And quick note, if always seeking to follow more and more after our Blessed Mother and her example, don't forget about the Walk to Mary coming up. Check it out at walktomary.com and take part in all of the Walk to Mary, or you can join in at different places along the way. Great time to be together with Relevant Radio family and friends, and to increase devotion to our Blessed Mother as she leads us, as always, into the life, the divine life of her Son, which is what Father Ethan Southard, our spiritual director today, has been talking about as well. If you have a question about how, or if you have a comment about how the Holy Spirit has been at work in your life, or ways that you increase your own devotion to the Holy Spirit, our number here at The Inner Life is 888-914-9149. Let's go down to Tom, who's calling in from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Tom, welcome.
Thank you. I just wanted to share that whenever my wife and I are going to pray together, where we're reading scripture, or we're reading a book together, we start out with this Holy Spirit prayer, and it's, come Holy Spirit into my mind that I may know the things that are of God. Come Holy Spirit, enlighten my heart to see the things that are of God. Come, Holy Spirit, into my soul, that I may belong only to God. Sanctify all that I think, say, and do, that all will be for the glory of God.
Wow. Thank you, Tom. That's beautiful. And I love that when you're reading scripture, that you're praying to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is, you know, the author of scripture. All of the, you know, the human authors are cooperating. I mean, talk about cooperating with the Holy Spirit. They're cooperating with the Holy Spirit as they're, you know, open and sharing their own life, but they're writing, you know, down that word of God. But when we're reading and interpreting and listening and we're praying to the Holy Spirit, we're, you know, Tom, like you're saying, that you're opening yourself, we are opening ourselves and inviting the Holy Spirit to interpret that in our lives today. Mm-hmm. That's like divine, you know, reading, Lectio Divina. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it is. Very good. Thank you, Tom, for sharing that. And that's, I think, moving into kind of some of those practical ways, suggestions of things that we can do to increase our devotion or to invite to be more open, as we've been talking about, to the work of the Holy Spirit. For instance, Miles, listening in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, is emailed in. He says, at the end of each decade of the Rosary, after the Oh My Jesus prayer, the Fatima prayer, I pray, come Holy Spirit, God Almighty, into our lives, that all things may be made new in Christ Jesus. So, I mean, just little simple things like that. But any, what do you think, Father? What are some recommendations on how we can be more open to the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives?
I love what Tom and what Miles are sharing, what Alexandra was sharing, you know, with the Marian consecration. It's those prayers. I think there's also the slowing down and allowing the Spirit to work, you know, allowing the Spirit to move in us. So if we really, because sometimes we can just rush through prayers, and you know, we could say the prayer and it could just be with our own, you know, words, or we could be rushing through, you know, the rosary. But if we really take the prayer apart, break it down, we can allow these prayers, we can allow the Holy Spirit to fruitify us, so that we start to bear fruit, right? But that's by slowing down, and it's allowing, it's not my will, but your will be done. So if we're coming in to prayer with our own agenda, with our own idea, and we're wanting the Holy Spirit to confirm that, right, to affirm us in our plans, it's probably not going to happen. Yeah. We're not going to bear fruit. We're just trying to have God, you know, work for us. But if we really slow down and we let go of our agendas, our ideas, the things that we want to do, and then we allow God to start coming up within us, right? Then it's not my will, but it's God's will be done. And so we're really open, we're really listening to what God is doing. But then be careful, because God is going to start moving within us. And it may not be what we want.
Yeah.
You know, it's like our lives, it seems like, I mean, this is real. St. Paul talks about, you know, bearing in his flesh the dying of Christ. You know, in Paul's, you know, humanity, he certainly did not want to be stoned or shipwrecked or to go through all those struggles. In Jesus's humanity, our humanity, he did not want to go to the cross. He begged not once, not twice. He begged his heavenly Father. He begged God 3 times, please let there be another way. I do not want to do this, but not my will, but your will be done. So, yeah. I mean, if we're really allowing God to do it, it's going to be messy and it's going to be confusing. And I'm going to turn right back to Stephen again, because I think he's, you know, our model today. So it says, this is in Acts 7:54, and maybe we could, a practical thing would be, we could do, like Tom was suggesting, we could do like a little Lectio Divina with this one, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe this is our Lenten journey. But so it says on 54, it says, when they, you know, the leaders of the church, when they heard this, they were infuriated. It wasn't what they wanted. They were hearing God speak through Stephen with the Holy Spirit, They were infuriated. They ground their teeth at him. But he, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked up intently to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." But they cried out in a loud voice, covered their ears. They did not want to hear what the Spirit was saying. And rushed upon him together. Then they threw him out of the city and began to stone him. The witnesses laid down their cloaks at the feet of a young man named Saul. Now this is the key right here. As they were stoning Stephen, he called out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he fell to his knees and cried out in a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he said this, he fell asleep. That was, though, this was like Jesus again. When Jesus was on the cross, right, he cried out, "Receive my spirit." And he says, "Father, you know, don't hold this against them. They don't know what they're doing." Stephen said the same thing. That's the Spirit of God that was in Jesus. That's the Spirit of God that was in Stephen. And that's the Spirit of God that was communicated into Paul. And it's so ugly and it's horrible and it doesn't look like it's any good, right? But then the resurrection's coming forth. So my encouragement and my caution, or just a reality check, is that, you know, if we're really authentically letting the Spirit of God within us, it's going to get messy. And it's not going to be the kingdom that we want to build. It's not what we want it to look like. It's God's kingdom happening on earth as it is in heaven.
I think that's a really good point, and it's something that, you know, kind of just a little bit of an encouragement to us too, but it's, you know, word to the wise type of thing as well, that, yeah, in giving ourselves over to the Holy Spirit, it is that thy will be done, right? It is that, be it done unto me according to thy word. Maybe it's, and that may not be, in fact, let me just go out on a limb here and say, it will not be what you have in mind.
Right. Yeah. But the saving grace, I mean, the beauty, the love of everything, like Paul says, it's the love of Christ which impels me. It's the Holy Spirit impelling me. They were so moved, you know, they're going, you know, with that love, and they're able to do it. Peter was able, after he was hiding within, you know, the upper room behind locked doors, right? Then he went out, and he went out to his own crucifixion. So it is with the Holy Spirit, you know, we're a new creation. God is breathing life. He's breathing life into us. He's not resuscitating us with old air. He's breathing life into us with the new air of the Holy Spirit. It's the resurrection and the life.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. I'm captivated by this, since we've been talking so much about St. Stephen, but great example that how saying yes to the Holy Spirit, breathing life within us, might actually lead us, well, it will actually lead us in some ways in and through our death. But at the same time, it's a death that is just like our Lord's, and that if it's in conjunction with the Holy Spirit, it will bring life to others. Wow, what a fascinating conversation, Father. It's been just a gift to me. Thank you so much for this Friday in Lent, talking about the Holy Spirit. As you know, we always like to close the show with a blessing, Father, if you will, please.
Of course. Thank you, Patrick and Nick. It's been a wonderful morning with all of the listeners. And the Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
And may God continue to pour down his blessings. May they rain upon you. May they fill you with new life, with new love, with a new spirit. And may God bless you all, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. As always, you can go back and listen to this or any of our past shows at relevantradio.com/innerlife. Coming up next is the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass with our celebrant today, Father Rich Getchell. On Monday, we're going to be talking about family meals. You like having dinner with your family? Find out the spiritual aspects of it. Join us on Monday with Father Dave Heaney. Grace and peace.